At this time, enjoy the sensation of stereo sound as the most powerful men in Canada discuss top tech. This week, digital photography.
Pro tip, when you're hitting your bell, don't knock it off your speaker. I used up all three of my dings on one.
So what will be our angle on digital cameras? We could talk about the idea of how digital cameras now are having to find an interesting new niche because of the proliferation of fairly good quality digital cameras in cell phone that the big camera companies have really doubled down on DSLRs and are starting to make them as interesting and as affordable as they can to get more people interested in that kind of next step, that higher level of photography once they're not really super happy with all of their stuff being on a iPhone or an Android camera.
Marco just posted an article July 1st, the fact that, no, guess what? Your camera phone isn't actually good enough. And there are some reasons for that.
What was the takeaway? What did he say was the stuff that was missing? I think I can probably guess lenses being a big one.
His standard was essentially, I bought this MacBook Pro with Retina display. Then I decided I want to use one of the pictures that I've shot recently as a wallpaper. I discovered that anything I've shot since 2010, when he got an iPhone 4 and then thus got an iPhone 4S as well, they're useless. He can't use them at a Retina level because they are not Retina level. That's the whole basis of his argument, is essentially because of the Retina display, that means that anything that I shoot is going to look terrible on a big Retina screen because of the density of pixels. And if he had been shooting stuff on his SLRs, not only would he have more control, but he would have much, much larger pictures to be able to use as his backdrops.
That's very interesting, that kind of concept. Although you would think you would notice these kind of same kind of things when you printed your photos out. But I guess that's the thing, is people aren't printing their photos out. They're just looking them on their crappy screens. And now that they have some decent screens, they're noticing that their photos aren't as good as they thought they were.
Yeah, that they're grainy or noise.
A lack of detail in the dark areas.
Another blog that I've read recently pointed out that when they're comparing shots from an actual DSLR to shots from the iPhone of the same things, yes, they look good, again, from far away, but the more you zoom up on them, they are blurrier. There is more ISO noise.
I'm sure there are very good, just straightforward point-and-shoots on the market that you can get. I mean, my parents still prefer to take pictures on their 5-megapixel Canon PowerShot A520. It's the A-series point-and-shoots that my dad got a few years back. They forgot it at home one time. They went out and they're like, we need a digital camera because we're on vacation. So they went out and bought like an $89 Fuji digital camera, just cheapest one they could find. They're like, that'll be fine. And then they took a bunch of pictures on, including ones for our wedding. And they were terrible, terrible, terrible pictures compared to what they were getting off of this Canon PowerShot. Point-and-shoots are not great.
But they have gotten so much better.
They have gotten so much better, but again, if you buy a discount one, buy something for $100 now, well, guess what? You're going to get worse quality than you would get for the $200 or $250 you would have spent a few years ago. Yeah, the quality of what goes into a point-and-shoot, it all depends on the quality of the lenses and the quality of the image processor and all those other things.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a moment, actually, to tell everyone listening to this to go to thewirecutter.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of these things, Beat, you're talking about is going out and spending X amount of dollars or trying to find the best something or other. Well, this is a site that does nothing but list the best things. So they actually have the best camera for under $100, the best mid-range DSLR, the best camera under $700, the best point-and-shoot, the best waterproof camera. But they also go into other things too, like the best juicers, the best headphones under $10, the best umbrella.
They've tried a lot of these things out. I like the Wirecutter because it's a nice way to just cut through all the dross of the internet and try to get to a point of, here, we have tried stuff, this is the one that so far is the best. And everything else we've tried so far is just not as good.
They do a very good job as well of aggregating reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to the heart of the matter, you're not reading a review that's 8 pages long, that's either A, full of technical details that you don't understand, or B, full of fruity prose that you don't care about.
As far as cameras go, I mean, as far as, well, anything that's technology goes, it's always going to be a set of trade-offs. From what we saw, I mean, comparing the iPhone 3GS, the iPhone 4 to the iPhone 4S, there was clear improvement every single time from all of those cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were measuring, well, if I take something on an iPhone 4S and measure it against a DSLR, I'm not getting comparable quality, but I am getting good enough quality that me just carrying around my iPhone 4 us all the time will make the difference. But I think Marco's article was more to the point of, sure, what you're taking on your iPhone 4S is great now for your 3.5-inch screen, or for maybe the 3x5-inch prints that you might get done, or for shopping around to your friends. But as these high DPI displays start coming out, the Retina display where you can't actually see pixels, as they start coming out and the resolutions get bigger and bigger and bigger, trying to work with one of those pictures, even to look at that, you're going to realize that the limitations of your iPhone's awfully quick. And so it's inspired him to say that he's got to take his DSLR with him wherever he goes so that he can get back into taking real pictures the way he liked to take real pictures.
You bring up a very good point, actually, about the idea of good enough. Like, we live in a society where technology really is still racing forward at the moment, especially in photography and audio quality and video. Basically, everything we care about these days is rushing forward in terms of quality. And that means what's good enough today might not necessarily be good enough tomorrow.
And then there's that whole concept of it's the camera that you have with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not very convenient to carry a DSLR or a digital single lens reflex camera with multiple removable lenses. That's not something most people are going to carry around with them at all times.
That's something, Johnny, I wanted to actually bring up when I was talking with you earlier in the week. You mentioned that what you were doing with the camera was what was important. Can't remember if you were doing lots of video or you weren't doing lots of video.
I definitely want to do lots of video. I've decided that I'd like to do a lot more video. And we had lost our DSLR on a recent trip to Whistler, and it was an older one. And so we were looking at getting a new one. And I've just decided that I do not want to spend the money on a new DSLR or any camera for that matter, no matter what kind of camera we decide on, that video isn't a very, very strong element of its feature set. And so that was being a major thing in my research in looking at different cameras, is which cameras can really do well with video. And I've shot quite a lot of video on mini DV cameras in the past, but I've just started fiddling around with and doing a couple of projects on DSLRs, and I've shot some video on Canon 60D T2i is another Rebel. 5D is another Canon camera. So I've shot a few on some of the higher end digital SLRs. I have used a few point shoots to shoot video, and the quality was decent. The problem for me is this in between. I'm not going to get that much more quality and usefulness out of a good quality point and shoot over and above what I would get out of my iPhone's camera. And so if I'm going to be carrying another device, it better be something that is a good reason for carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
So this in-between of having a point-and-shoot doesn't make a lot of sense to me personally. It might to other people listening.
Right.
But for me, my digital images that I get off of my iPhone are good enough for just doing quick shots. If I want something better, I don't want kind of an in-between step. I'd like to have something that I make an effort to bring with me. I like it. I like the way it works. It gives me good quality images and video. And that's really what I'm looking at. The big problem is I'm having right now, and probably a lot of listeners run into this as well, is you do some research on new technology, on something you want to get at, and you read all these reviews, and then you find the one you think you like, and then you hear, well, it's just going to be replaced in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. And you get into that fear of, if I buy this, is the next one going to be so much better that I'm going to wish I had bought it? Or do I want to not get myself into that loop? And I tell people this all the time when they're asking me what technology they should buy. Most of the time I tell people, if you wait for the next best thing, you're going to wait forever and never buy anything. You know, so you have to buy something sometime if you'd actually like to do something with this technology. And there's always going to be buyer's remorse in the way that technology moves so fast right now in the kind of technology that we're talking about. But it looks like the next generation of DSLRs from Canon are going to have some features that I really, really like. And so kind of decided to hold off. But I may change my mind by the end of the show.
The corollary I find to that is buy what you need when you need it. What I'm hearing from you is saying that I want to be able to shoot these things. I want to be able to use these really nice SLRs. They're still a little shy on some of the features I want. And when I look at the next thing, I say, you know what? That's the thing that I want. It was like when I bought my iPhone, I could have tried to jump in an iPhone 3G, and I said, you know what, I think I'm just going to wait a little bit longer because I don't feel that need just yet. But then after spending a bunch of time with my crappy candy bar or whatever I had at the time, I got to a point where I'm like, I'm not waiting for an iPhone 4. I'm not waiting for whatever. I'll buy this 3GS because it's the new thing out right now and be happy with it. Just about anything works that way, but I think this camera argument works the same way. If you know right now, it's like, I don't need this to shoot pictures. I'm willing to wait 6 months to a year for something better to come out, and then I'll buy it. I think that makes a lot more sense, because other than practicing a little bit of fiscal restraint, you're also saying, I've established my criteria for what's important. Yeah, and what's important is what's in this next one, not the one that's two or three generations ahead. This next one is what I want.
Well, Beach, I think you and Johnny actually both hit on a really interesting line of thought on this. Johnny, you seem to actually be getting caught in the middle. Not because of technology, it seems to me, but because of what you actually want to do with the device. And I think that's where people need to put the most thought into these things. You feel that your snapshots are good enough with the iPhone. So for a snapshot camera, that's exactly what you need. But you're also talking about doing photography otherwise, in which case that can step you up to a mirrorless camera or to a DSLR. If you're really interested in video, then you need to be looking at cameras specifically from that angle. And that changes the ball game entirely.
It used to be that you got a dedicated video camera and a dedicated... Actually, for a lot of technology, dedicated equipment is almost always better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You get multifunction printers that do a whole bunch of stuff. They're not going to be good scanners. They're not going to be good printers.
I think actually, aside from general purpose computing devices, everything else pretty much falls under the umbrella of buy the thing that does the one thing well.
Yeah. I think the interesting idea about video, though, is almost all the people that are working at the kind of prosumer level and indie film kind of that I would aspire to. I'm not aspiring to make Hollywood blockbusters, but those people are all using DSLRs because it gives them way more flexibility in lenses than the dedicated video cameras gave them in the past. And it gives them a quality that's remarkable for recording that wasn't there just a couple of years ago. And the big camera companies, not the video camera companies, but the big camera companies really have learned how to do video in their digital still cameras very well. Well, one perfect example, of course, is Canon. Canon has had a long history of not only high-quality digital still cameras, but a very long history of video cameras as well. And they brought that to bear when they added video capabilities to the DSLRs. And so they've been very, very successful. And there's quite a lot of television and now feature films that are being shot on Canon digital SLRs. So even though a digital SLR, which is predominantly known for taking good quality photos, is really good at that thing, they have become the go-to type of technology to shoot the kind of video that I'm hoping to shoot anyway. So when I look at dedicated video equipment that is really good at video, it actually is missing some of the things that I would like to have in a digital video camera, and it doesn't have the still capabilities at all. And the price point is not actually comparable. You look at cheap video cameras, and they can't do any of the things you want, and the quality is not very good. There's this big jump to the more professional cameras. There's very little in video cameras that provide the kind of quality and build quality that a good digital SLR can provide, and that digital SLR can also take really good photos. It's coming to a point in time where I think the camera companies that used to make a lot of video cameras, either they're making digital SLRs like Canon, or they've just kind of abandoned that middle road area. You either have the really cheap video cameras, which I think is going to die very soon because of cell phone video, and then you have the more higher end where you're selling to television companies and stuff. I think the age of consumer dedicated video equipment is going to be over very soon.
You're exactly right there, Johnny, but I don't think that the point-and-shoot market is going to go away anytime soon in terms of the cameras.
We saw the erosion of the digital camcorder market in some respects, like because the Flip came out and was very, very popular very quickly. I never had one, but my wife has had a couple of Flip-alikes. And Ian, I think you had one of the Kodak ZI6s, I think, for a while, mm-hmm, too.
That's right, yeah.
And those things were very popular, but they were fad-type popular. They were very popular, very fast. People were like, this is awesome. I can shoot video on these things. They're not meant for taking pictures. I have an easy way to get it onto YouTube. It's got a built-in USB plug right into it, so I can just jam it into my laptop and get stuff online. And yet within about 2 years, with the advent of being able to shoot 720p video on the iPhone 4 and being able to shoot 1080p video on the iPhone 4S, and then all of the Android devices also allowing you to shoot some video as well, that really decimated that market. You don't see people walking around with those things shooting video with them because at this point, well, you know, why would you want to pack that and pack batteries unless you're going to be shooting specifically on that?
I want to point out, though, that they did disappear because of a 1-2 punch. One, yes, the cell phones came in and started doing as good a job as they did. And two, for anyone else who wanted to do a better job of shooting video, they had to go up to the next level, either to a dedicated piece of consumer equipment or to a DSLR or to a prosumer or pro system.
And I think that's why the erosion of the $100 point-and-shoot is totally going to happen. We're going to get to a point where every cell phone has that. The $250 or $300 point-and-shoots that maybe have more features packed in them, maybe these Micro Four Thirds cameras, those will be more popular because of the interchangeable lenses. And those will be the new prosumer-type model where you're learning how to shoot interchangeable lens style on a Micro Four Thirds, and eventually you may step up to shooting all the time on a full-body DSLR.
I agree with most of your points there. I don't think that's going to happen in the camera market for quite a while yet, simply due to physics.
Physics? Oh my goodness. Are we going to get a science lesson, Uncle?
Yay!
It's really quite simple. You get a piece of plastic or a piece of metal or a box the size of a cell phone, and you make that dedicated to shooting photos or shooting video, and you can put a bigger sensor in there than you can in a cell phone.
That's true.
And that means you're going to get better low light performance. You'll be able to put a bigger lens on it, meaning you'll be able to get more light into that better low light performance sensor, and you're going to get better photos.
You can have a larger lens or a larger aperture overall.
Yeah.
You can allow for zoom lenses if you want to.
But it has nothing to do with features. Every one of the features that's on these point-and-shoot cameras, in fact, we've seen it already. Most of these point-and-shoot cameras these days are coming out with these touchscreens on the back.
Right.
And they have filters on it, so you can ruin your photos in an Instagram style right on the camera now.
Yeah. So we're already seeing bugaboos. Thank you.
So you bring it onto your computer, destroy it right on your camera.
You can't cheat physics.
Even as lens technology gets better, there's a certain point by which you have to give it up to light.
Not even lens technology getting better. As long as you can still fit a bigger lens and a bigger sensor on a dedicated device than you can in a smaller device or non-dedicated device, you're going to take better pictures.
The thing that I really wanted as a DSLR that could shoot video that very few cameras have the ability to do is automatically focus during video. So as you probably know, almost every digital camera, when you took a photo, often you would have a half press. You'd press the button down halfway, and it would automatically focus. If you had taken it off manual focus, it would automatically focus for you.
We all can't afford focus pullers.
No, that's exactly right. But for still cameras, you would take a picture and it would focus for you just right before the shot was fired. And as Ian pointed out, in professional video, they have these big lenses and they have people whose job it is to be focus pullers. And obviously you can't do that on a really small camera or a team of you. It's hard to have someone as a dedicated focus puller. And their job would be to adjust the focus as people moved in and out of the shot, or if the camera moved back or forward. So if shooting video, especially with something as nice and as handy as a digital SLR, which sounds funny to say compared to a cell phone or a point and shoot, but compared to a big TV or movie camera, a digital SLR is quite tiny and you can actually be very nimble with it. But if you're moving around with it, your focus is continuously changing. Well, the way that the sensors interacted with the autofocus, it just ignored that when you were shooting video. So you could get focus right at the beginning. You press halfway down when you're about to shoot the video. It focuses on your subject. You hit the video record button. If things moved in and out, you had to manually adjust the focus yourself as it changed because the autofocus.
This can be highly unpleasant because toddlers are actually terrible at hitting their mark in a scene.
They are. They are so – get on your mark. There has been some digital SLR and Micro Four Thirds and other video-enabled still cameras that will do video focusing while you're in the middle of the shot. They're all have been pretty much universally panned. Nikon was the first to really do it for digital SLRs. The quality of the focus was highly suspect.
They're terrible because they're slow.
Yes.
They don't work.
Yes.
And usually the lenses are extremely noisy compared to a professional video camera with a professional lens.
Exactly. Whereas it looks like Canon has fixed this. They've got the ultrasonic lenses, which are quiet lenses for when you're changing your focus. And the T4i, the new digital Rebel, has automatic focus that works for video. It is the more consumer-level grade of the digital SLR, but it's getting rave reviews for its video performance, including this feature that is the one I'm looking for.
This is a feature that doesn't even show up on the 5D Mark II or Mark III. They're second to top of the line. It's certainly not on the 1D.
Nope.
Much to my chagrin, it's not on the 7D, nor is it going to show up on the 7D's firmware update that's coming out later this month.
No, and it's not on the 60D, which is the camera that I had decided that I really wanted to buy.
Mm-hmm.
The camera that is the successor to the 60D, the 70D, which hasn't actually been announced yet.
We hope will be out.
There is quite a lot of evidence that it is going to be announced probably in Japan in September. And so that's the camera that I'm looking forward to. The 60D has everything else pretty much I want, except some of the video features in the 4Ti that I would assume will be, since it's in the consumer grade camera, will be in their next level up. And so that's the camera that I'm looking forward to getting. As I said, I generally don't recommend people wait unless there's something really specific that they're looking for, and there is something very specific I'm looking for. So I've decided right now to wait, although I haven't actually shot with a 4Ti to test it out.
Well, that makes me think that Ian using a 7D, in using the 7D, you never would have thought of at the time upon acquiring it that it was clearly going to be followed on with something that was going to have this auto follow focus, if I don't know what you would call it, but this auto video focus.
It's called autofocus.
It is just autofocus.
It's a new thing that's been around since I believe probably sometime in the 70s. This is a lot like what we were talking about earlier. The reason I requisitioned a 70D for my company was because I needed a camera in the next month, and the 70D was the only one that was within the price range that I could justify that did video as a DSLR. I was going over to France with a group of Métis veterans to actually document their return to Normandy, and I wanted the camera that would take really, really good photos and a camera that would take really, really good video, and that happened to do them both. And quite frankly, the lack of autofocus didn't come up.
But that's a case of you bought what you need when you needed it. It's not one of those things where it's like, well, can we delay that trip for 6 months to a year and hope these guys don't pass away because I need to get a better camera that can do this kind of autofocus.
Mm-hmm. But all the video I'd ever shot had been on video cameras. Before, I was helping Desert Bus, and I shot something with Graham's DSLR and was moving around with the shot. And I was like, everything is coming out of focus. Why isn't this auto-focusing? And Graham's like, that's just the way it works. You have to manually focus it all. And so if you watch the intro video to Desert Bus 5, you will probably notice that the focus is really, really poor. And that is completely my inability to focus quickly while I was moving around.
The lesson to take away from here then is if you're planning on taking pictures or shooting a film or doing anything, you should buy a camera because eventually your subjects will die.
Thanks, Beach.
Don't wait on that.
I think that is a good ending to our cameras. Take pictures and video as soon as possible because everybody dies.
Buy a camera now so you can take pictures now so they won't die.
And capture their souls and show it to all. So for the most powerful man in Canada, I'm Johnny Blakeborough.
I'm Ian Horner.
And I'm Brendan Beach Deary, who's not going to die anytime soon.
Thanks for joining us.
The most powerful man in Canada would love to hear from you. Please contact us by visiting our website at toptech.tiltyhouse.com if you have any comments or if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover in a future show.